You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The World Cup with William Hill.
The Punt Daily Podcast. Listen at news.williamhill.com, on Audioboom, or subscribe by iTunes or your preferred podcast provider.
Hello and welcome to the World Cup Daily Podcast from William Hill. We're coming to the end of the round of 16 and we're very close now to knowing the identities of the quarterfinalists for this 2018 World Cup. An exciting day of football in prospect. Of course, England back in action as they take on Colombia in their own round of 16 match. That's after Sweden take on Switzerland in what might not be the highest quality a game in this round of the competition, but it's certainly one of the more level and one of the more open for betting terms. We'll get the thoughts of Sam Norris and Lee Phelps on that game a little bit later on. We'll also be hearing from the Racing Post sports team today on the podcast ahead of both of the two games. They'll be selecting their best bets. We're going to start off though by looking at Colombia against England in the round of 16. My name's John Gibby and I'm joined by Lee Phelps. Hello, Lee. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm a little nervous, I must admit.
I am as well. I think I'm more nervous now than what I will be if England get into the quarterfinals, because I think it's almost certainly a tougher matchup, no matter what happens.
Yeah. I think it's just this stage. I've been here too many times, and I had this horrible feeling after we beat Panama 6-1, and it was a good moment, wasn't it? You know, as they say in football, you just sat there, oh, brilliant, this is superb. What a time to be alive when we're thrashing teams 6-1. And a little bit of me thought, this is probably as good as it gets this World Cup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we've lost to Belgium, and now we've got Colombia, and everyone's making out their rubbish. And now, you know, all this time we've been hearing about James Rodriguez not being fit, and then they say, oh, he might be fit, and then, oh. And we won't know, will we, you know, until kickoff. If you're listening to this, you may well know that James Rodriguez is fit. That does change things for me. I think he's a class player. You know, he lit up the World Cup 4 years ago. So we will see. But, I mean, I guess either way, we're not going to be facing a 100% fit James Rodriguez. But, yeah, it's a tricky one. A tricky one to bet on as well, John, isn't it? Because it's so hard to overrule your heart when you're looking at England and what you want to happen. But the same token is that you can go too far the other side and overcompensate and then go against England when actually they have been playing quite well.
England are 11-10, the favourites for this one at time of recording. Colombia 14-5, the draw 21-10. That's in the 90 minutes market to qualify. Colombia 6-4, England 2-1 on, 1-2 to get through to the quarterfinals. So the way the traders have priced this one up, Lee, England certainly pretty heavy favourites. Trying to be as neutral as possible, I just think in terms of the football that the two teams have played in the competition so far, of course they've both lost a game in the group stages, I just feel that's quite short for England.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is too short. I think maybe if you had this game at Wembley, it might be something like that. England might be a little bit shorter even. But yeah, I tend to agree. I think it's way too short. And that's what. So then, what happens then is that every market that you look at also becomes short, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I've started to kind of. I've been looking at goal scorers. I mean, I think England, you know, taking everything out of this, I think England should win this game. As you say, you know, Colombia haven't done an awful long. They beat a fairly poor Polish side 3-0. They beat Senegal by a single goal to nil.
And weren't particularly great in that game,
no,
either.
No, not great. And then they lost to Japan, that solitary defeat. You know, the build-up game, they drew 0-0 with Egypt earlier in this year when they had the friendlies in March. They drew 0-0 with Australia, and they beat France 3-2 in France as well. Came from two down after half an hour and won the match. So, you know, they've obviously got goals in them. I think on their day they are very good. But yeah, I would expect England to win. But yeah, it's just that price, as you say, it worries me a little bit purely from a betting point of view.
We're not looking necessarily at England to win then. Are we looking at a pro-Colombia bet, or are we looking at something that's maybe a little bit more neutral?
Well, when I looked at this match, and again, taking my experience of watching England over the years into consideration as well, the draw keeps looming large for me. The fact that I think nothing tends to happen easily for England, unfortunately, in these situations. That's why the win over Panama was just so weird.
Yeah.
Because it just, even the Tunisia game wasn't an easy game. Played well in the first 20 minutes. Then after that, it was just like, oh, God, here we go again. It's frustrating. It's worrying. But that was the weird thing about Panama, is that, suddenly. Now, if we could recapture that kind of form, and whether those players can, who we left out in that third game against Belgium, can come back and do it, then maybe we can go at them. Now, all the chat from the players that you've seen in press conferences has been about, no, we want to go out there and go fast and get into them straight away. I think that's the way to play Colombia. I don't think they'll cope with that particularly well. Not that they're a poor side. They've got a good defence. They've got a good midfield. I think we beat them in attack. But it just doesn't work like that, does it? I can't imagine England going out there and, you know, piling the pressure on for 90 minutes and winning comfortably. I think it'll be a draw, unfortunately, in 90 minutes.
I would say the only time I've seen England come out under Gareth Southgate, really, and properly put the pressure on the other team, you know, 10 out of 10, was probably in the second half against Tunisia, where they basically spent the entire second half camped in the English half playing for the draw, and England were just going for it. Even at the beginning of the game against Panama, you know, it was more of the slow and steady approach. You know, it was more passing out the back, more. Yeah. He said he's got this game plan, Gareth Southgate, and they've said to him, look, if you're 1-0 down in the semi-finals with 10 minutes to go, you're going to change that game plan. You're going to go something that's a bit more direct. And he said, no, we're sticking to it. Yeah.
Which is kind of what, when you think about Arsenal, that's what they're like, isn't it?
Yeah.
But frustratingly, like, you kind of, I mean, maybe not now, because I'm talking about the Arsenal of old, and they would, that you'd be like, oh, just pump, you know, there'd be a European game, and they'd just need a goal, and they'd be just like passing it around, oh, just get the ball in the box. Now, I think the difference being is that England do get the ball in the box. You know, there's no worry about that. You know, I think the amount of times decent quality crosses are going in is encouraging. But I just can't imagine us winning this in 90 minutes and it all being nice. I think it'll be tense and horrible. We've got a good record against South American teams. Won 3 of the last 5 by a single goal to nil, that is. And they scored 1 in the other 2 matches. They lost 2-1 to Brazil and Uruguay. So, you know, we've scored in each of the games against South American opposition. The other interesting thing is that England have followed each of their last 5 defeats with a victory in their next outing. So we always bounce back, or we have done of late. And one other quirky little stat, England need to score first in this game. Since the 1966 World Cup final, England have conceded the opener in 11 World Cup matches, losing 9 in 90 minutes and losing the other 2 on penalties. So the omens say we need to score early. But we've been going out quick and we've been getting early-ish goals. I expect them to go out and I expect them to take the lead. I wouldn't be against an England winning at half-time, draw full-time, because I think this will go the distance. I think we'll win it in extra time. That's a bold prediction. But I just can't. I can't sit here and put penalties up. So, well, yeah, England to be winning at half-time, and then the draw full-time is the bet that I'm going to go for.
The double result England draw is 16-1, which is decent potentially enough. A big price. And to win in extra time, England are 10-1. Colombia are 14-1, if you do think it's going to go to extra time. And if anyone is thinking about England on penalties, not that that's ever the recommended approach. 9-1 for that's each of 2, Colombia and England, to win on penalties.
The other ones, obviously, we can't do this preview without mentioning Harry Kane, can we? Enhanced odds all over the place around him. Kane to score and England to win, 3-1, was 5-2. Kane and Falcao both to score in 90 minutes, was 6-1, now 8-1. There's loads of those. I saw one, England to win, with Falcao and Kane scoring, was around 16s, I think it was, which I think thought was a big old price for those things. 14s, England to win, Falcao and Harry Kane both to score in 90 minutes, that'll be 14-1, which isn't the worst bet, because the other thing we know about England is that they do concede.
Yeah.
You know, and we know, I think we will score against them. Both teams to score, 6-5. No, I don't think that's a bad bet at all. And the one thing I looked at before this round started was the over-unders goals. And historically, when you look at the unders tends to land in the last 16 matches. I think the 2014 World Cup, even though we had loads of goals in the group stages, there were lots of under 2.5 games in the last 16. Obviously, we have seen under 2.5 goals, but we've also seen some absolute crackers so far. Over 2.5 goals in this is 13-8, which, you know, I think if I was having to go on either under or over, I'd be going on the overs. Both teams to score, for me, yes, 6-5. I'll go for the draw. Match result on both teams to score, 100-30. And that bet, to that kind of half-time England winning, full-time, they've clawed it back and sent us into extra time. Draw.
I'll tell you what I don't mind as well from a perspective of there potentially being goals in this match is Harry Kane 2 or more is 11-2. Yeah. If you just think about an England side where the goal threat, you know, is or has been in this World Cup in particular, but even before this World Cup, has been centred around one Harry Kane's boot and yep. two John Stones' forehead. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That 11-2 is interesting potentially.
No, I agree. I mean, I think, you know, yeah, Harry Kane any time at 65, you know, you might consider that a decent price. You know, I don't like the price because I think it's way too short in a game of this kind of this quality. But he you know, he keeps scoring, doesn't he? So 6-5, you might like hat trick. I think the other thing is, I think, like, I'm always puzzled by the difference between, you know, 2 or more, 11-2, fair enough. Hat trick, 35-1.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying he's going to score a hat trick. I'm not saying it's that easy. But, you know, if you're going to go 11-2, you may as well have a little bit on the 35-1. As we saw, he can get one off the back of his heel and go in and get a hat trick. So he's all, like you say, he's always there or thereabouts. But 35-1 for the Harry Kane hat trick. I'm dreaming, John. I'm dreaming.
You might have to dream for not much longer, though. England might finally be allowed to win a knockout game in a competitive competition. That's how the traders are priced up. England, the 11-10 favourites, as they take on Colombia. That's in the 90 minutes market in the round of 16 in Russia. And we look forward to it very much.
If you're betting on the World Cup on mobile, don't forget to get your bet boost. They're available on every match of the tournament. Just touch boost on your bet slip and the price will get bigger.
Those were the thoughts of myself and Lee on the Colombia v England game. We can also now get the thoughts of the Racing Post sports team. We can hear from their football experts, Mark Langdon and Dan Charles. Starting with Mark.
I'm going to go for the draw in 90 minutes and hopefully England can maybe go on and win it in extra time or penalties. But so far on what we've seen at the World Cup, they've only beaten Tunisia, they've only beaten Panama. That's not enough, I don't think, to back them to beat a classy Colombian team. I won't go for Colombia to win the game.
Yeah, I think the prices are too far skewed towards England here, so I would be going for Colombia to qualify. I think they're better in defence, better in midfield. I think where England have got an advantage is Harry Kane up front, but I don't think it's enough for the prices to be where they are. So Colombia to qualify.
So welcome to the William Hill FWA podcast. I'm joined today by Simon Peach of the Press Association. He's their England expert, covers England. He'll be watching that game against Colombia coming up. That's it's make or break. We've just been watching Spain go out of the tournament. What other surprises can we get?
I know. I mean, to be fair, my heart was racing through my chest watching that penalty shootout. So it doesn't bode well if England do come down to that. I mean, it's a huge match. It's hard to believe that we could all be packing up on Wednesday.
But as they've just shown in there, you know, Spain had 100% record of penalties. Russia hadn't been in a shootout, and yet Russia triumphed. Spain looked like the novices, didn't they?
Yeah, it was. I was hearing some Spanish colleagues saying that David De Gea doesn't have the isn't thought of that highly in Spain, which is hard to believe for anyone that watches English football with any regularity, but he didn't look like he was getting near any of them, did he? And Russia kept composed. And how hard must it be? It was pouring with rain and you've got 80,000 people and a whole nation and Vladimir Putin somewhere willing you on.
Ooh. And Akin Fayev absolutely produced the goods, didn't he? He'll be the hero of Russia today.
Yeah, often he's a kind of the butt of many jokes because he's got such a poor Champions League record at keeping clean sheets. But he's a fine goalkeeper and he kept his nerve. And, I mean, that save at the end was quite acrobatic, wasn't it?
Yeah. Now, obviously, this does open up this side of the draw as well for England. So if they can progress past Colombia and then Sweden and Switzerland, or Switzerland, it's a big if. But it could then it could be Russia, couldn't it?
I mean, as an England fan, that's the kind of result you'd all want. You don't want the big teams to be going through. So obviously, I think we'd all want Croatia to go out to Denmark. But it's a big hurdle, Colombia. I think some people are underestimating them. If they don't have James Rodriguez, Quintero's on great form, Falcao, they've got two fantastic centre-backs in Mina and Davinson Sanchez. Mm. So, yeah, it's going to be a really hard ask, but you couldn't ask for a better half of the draw.
And I mean, the drama keeps unfolding. We saw it last night. We saw Argentina go out. We saw Portugal go out. Messi's gone. Ronaldo's gone. Iniesta's now gone. All these big names are dropping by the wayside. It's a World Cup of surprises, isn't it?
It is, and it's a World Cup for you to create your own legacy. I mean, look at Kylian Mbappe and what a wonderful game he had against Argentina. And Harry Kane, I know he's only played two games, but he scored five goals, and that's an incredible turnaround. An incredible record. So I think everyone will be willing him on in this big game against Colombia.
And obviously, for England's point of view, the Belgium was a chance to rest players. Mm. Now they'll all be coming back. Can you see any changes, maybe possibly Danny Rose coming in or any other changes in
that
side?
I mean, Danny Rose is probably the one that I'd make just because he is an out-and-out fullback. Mm. And I like his pace, I like his directness, and he's been able to blow away the cobwebs against Belgium. Although Ashley Young's done a good job. I mean, I think it's going to be basically the side that faced Tunisia. Mm. And why wouldn't it be in? What better time for Raheem Sterling to end his England goal drought than to see off Colombia?
And of course, if England get past Colombia, we've got Sweden, Switzerland. Mm. That, you know, on paper doesn't look too tough opposition, but it's as I said, in this World Cup, anything can happen.
Yeah, and I mean, look, so I heard somebody saying that England have a superiority complex and an inferiority complex, which is true because we're all worried about beating Colombia, but then all thinking we're going to beat Switzerland or Sweden. It's fascinatingly poised, but anyone that was in Nice or was watching the game in Nice 2 years ago knows that England are capable of anything, really.
Yeah.
It does feel like England's best chance in a generation, probably, to go deep into a competition, but we cannot afford to take Colombia lightly.
Yeah, it's the old cliche, isn't it? One game at a time. We've got to think like that as well. But Brazil, still the outright favourites, clear favourites, and they're just showing glimpses in games that if it all comes together, they'll be very hard to beat.
It's glimpses, but when they click into gear, I mean, not many sides that go on to win the tournaments tend to start flying out the blocks, and those that do tend to taper off. I mean, Coutinho's been brilliant. Neymar hasn't reached the heights that we all know he can. Obviously, he's come back from that injury, which I think some people have forgotten. But they have the individual quality and the collective nous under a very, very good coach to go all the way.
And France, another team that started slowly, didn't impress massively in the group stages, but last night against Argentina, they looked tremendous, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, their strength and depth is remarkable. They've got some outstanding players. Mbappe announced himself to the world yesterday. I know Giroud has he isn't overwhelmingly popular in France, but he does a job and he brings other people into play. Pogba, I thought, looked good. His range of passing was excellent yesterday on the whole. And they've got people that like Pavard, I don't think many people had heard of before this tournament, but I mean, that's my favourite of the tournament. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's a good player. I wouldn't be surprised if we open up the papers tomorrow and see him linked to a few English clubs.
Yeah. And of course, Russia. Mm. I mean, who can discount them after that performance today? I mean, it wasn't the best performance in terms of possession and goal chances, but they got through. They found a way of getting through. And the host nation can always get to the final stages, can't they?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stories written at the start of the tournament by the local press, as much as anyone, that this was going to be a horror show for Russia. But they've surprised everyone, haven't they? They've got some very talented players. Golovin looks fantastic. Mm. Mauro Fernandes, the naturalised Brazilian, is a fine right back. Zuba, who everyone kind of just pigeonholed as a big lump up front, has been doing the job. And yeah, I mean, they dug so deep that game. I was willing them on because they just stuck back. They stuck to their positions. And they say defending is a dying up, but they showed that they really can dig deep and frustrate sides. And Spain didn't offer. I don't understand what they were playing at. They were so passive. They didn't try and break through the lines. Didn't do anything.
So just as we finish off here, looking ahead to Colombia, England, Colombia, can you give us a prediction on what you think will happen?
I think a narrow England win
in 90 minutes.
Yes, but I'm not very good at betting, as William Hill can attest. I just feel England have it, resting the players, James Rodriguez being a doubt. Even if he does play, he won't be at full fitness. The big question for me is how our three defenders cope with the the attacking midfielders trying to pick holes, and Falcao, who's a wily old fox. How are we going to cope with them? They have two fantastic centre-backs, as I alluded to, in Mina and Sanchez, but if they don't lump the ball into the box every time, if they can find a way of playing around them, then I think we'll do all right.
Fantastic. Simon, thanks for your time, and this has been your latest William Hill FWA podcast. Keep coming back for more.
We now move to talk about the other game in the World Cup on Tuesday in the round of 16, Sweden taking on Switzerland. And this is, of course, potentially important for England as well, because if the team who wins this would be the potential quarterfinal opponents for England or Colombia, depending who gets through the other round of 16 match. Ahead of this one, Lee was talking to Sam Norris about their predictions and best bets for the game.
Sam's got a really intriguing goal scorer bet in Sweden versus Switzerland at a decent price as well. The bookies can barely prize these two apart. As we record this preview, 19-10 Sweden, 19-10 the draw, and 17-10 the Swiss. The Swiss have had both teams scoring in all three of their group games. Sweden won two and lost one. You could argue that the loss to Germany was unlucky as well, but they did retreat into their shells as Germany pushed on and pushed on. But that final group game win against Mexico really made people sit up and notice. Maybe Mexico, Sam, had kind of, you know, thrown the towel in a little bit and decided they didn't need to try. But a lot of people kind of had a little sneaky kind of look at Sweden, sort of team who could maybe trouble teams as they go through the tournament. Got to get past this one first, though, and it's two kind of very similar looking teams in terms of the way they set up, and it could be a very kind of, you know, almost like a very European game, this one, where it's kind of like, you know, just low scoring, dogged, and maybe one bit of brilliance or one bit of luck might win it.
Yeah, very easy to see why the traders are struggling to separate these two sides. It's one of the more competitive round of 16 matches. We'll start with the Swedes, who I think have grown nicely into the tournament. Obviously, they went win-lose-win in their three group games, which doesn't suggest that they have them, but was very impressed with them against Mexico. And although Mexico had qualified, topping the group in this particular group was a big deal because it means avoiding Brazil in the round of 16. So for all that Mexico had already got the job done in that respect, they'll have gone into that game wanting to top the group. Obviously, they didn't in the end. You know, partially that's because of what happened in the Germany game, of course, their disappointment against South Korea. But Sweden never really let them into the game. I thought Sweden were excellent in that match. They were value for the draw against Germany. They did go defensive in the closing stages, but that is understandable. To take a point against Germany, they will have been delighted that, and massively deserved a draw as well. Only Toni Kroos with a late bit of brilliance denied them that. I didn't think they were as good against South Korea in the opening game of the tournament, but got the job done there, and it was a professional win. And as I say, I think they've actually grown with each performance in this tournament. They've got better and better in the three games I've seen. And now, what an opportunity for both these sides to reach a quarterfinal, which I think for both teams would have been, you know, a really, really good performance at the World Cup. The Swiss, I like Switzerland. I like the way they play their football, but I think they are lacking, and quite a few teams in this tournament have looked a bit like that. They're lacking a real focal point, a real out-and-out goal scorer, which seems strange to say because they've scored 5 goals in the group stage in 3 games, which doesn't look bad. But when they start with Seferovic up top, he doesn't ever look like massively scoring. I'm not a huge fan of Jamali, despite the fact he did get a goal against Costa Rica. I'm a big Breeland Bolo fan, but he's missed a lot of time out through injury. Came on in the Serbia game for the closing few moments and was pretty ineffective. So I do think this Swiss side lacks a real focal point. With that in mind, if you're looking for Swiss goal scorers, you've got to be looking at the midfielders. And again, just because strikers are always shorter in this market, you do get the opportunity to get a bit of a bigger price about some midfielders. So if you're on the Swiss side of things, I'll be looking at their midfielders. But for me personally, I'm going to side tentatively with Sweden here, mainly because they're a bigger price. And this is one of those games that could be a pick 'em in my eyes. And when there is a slight difference in price, I want to go for the team that are a bigger price. They're even money to qualify by any means. I think that's pretty decent. Switzerland are there at 8-11. But my favourite bet in this match is a goal scorer on the Swedish side of things, and that is Andreas Granqvist, who's already scored twice in the tournament. Both of those came from the penalty spot. He's priced up at 13-2, which is a big old price for someone who takes the penalties, and is a big old price normally. But given what we've seen with the intervention of VAR this tournament and how penalty-rich the tournament's been, that all of a sudden becomes even more attractive. I mean, just the price for penalties to be awarded in a regulation Premier League match throughout the course of the season, even in a particularly spicy game, we might be looking at 7-2. It's been priced up at like 6-5. I think it was odds on in the Germany game the other night at 10-11. So, you don't need to look at the betting to know there's been lots of penalties. But just the way the layers are pricing it up shows you how likely a penalty is. And that really brings Granqvist into the betting here at 13-2. He can score by other means, of course, as well. But I think 13-2 is a big price for a penalty taker in a game which is difficult to get a real handle on, tough to be fully dogmatic about one of these teams. I think 13-2 for Granqvist is a very nice way in for a man who takes the penalties in a tournament that's just been littered with penalties thus far. So I'd side with Sweden tentatively, but it's more of a price thing. But I think Granqvist is a good place to score at 13-2.
William Hill customers are getting more every day of the World Cup. With flash odds, you can get outstanding price enhancements on some of the most popular markets. So don't miss out. More enhancements, more to celebrate. William Hill, this is more.
Well, that was Sam and Lee on Sweden against Switzerland. We can also get the thoughts now of the Racing Post team. Their tips is Mark Langdon and Dan Childs. Give us their best bets, starting with Dan.
I would just edge towards Switzerland here. I think they've shown they can defend in the 1-1 draw against Brazil. They've shown they can respond to adversity when they went behind against Serbia, come back to win 2-1. Sweden have really done nothing wrong, but I just think Switzerland have got a little bit more quality.
I'm going to go for a draw in 90 minutes. Wouldn't be surprised if this one went to penalties. I agree with Dan about Switzerland, but you've got to respect Sweden. I mean, this is a team that beat France in qualifying, knocked Holland out. They've knocked Italy out. They've now knocked Germany out as well, finished top of that group. I mean, they just will not lie down, so a draw, this could go all the way.
If you're betting on the World Cup on mobile, don't forget to get your bet boost. They're available on every match of the tournament. Just touch boost on your bet slip and the price will get bigger.
That's all we got time for on today's edition of the Daily World Cup podcast. Then thanks for joining us, and of course we'll be back for the quarterfinals, looking forward to the real business end of the competition. I wonder if England will be one of those teams lining up, but we'll find out throughout Tuesday's matches. Hopefully we've picked you out some winning bets, and please enjoy the final couple of the games in the round of 16 in this 2018 World Cup.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.